Pop.
It's red light.
Let's go to Philippians. Did I say that?
Jeff, what is that?
No.
Here we are.
Remember that Paul didn't write them all. Peter was with him, and Mark was with him, and I mean all these people.
Right.
But he had a talent that would made him. It made him in many ways above an apostle. Because he was absorbed into the mystery of the cross more than any other, more than anyone.
So he's kind of, he's definitely the Isaiah of the New Testament. If you
can. Yeah, that'd be a good way of putting it.
I think it's also fair to note that the others were all pretty much called the Jews, and they were all pretty much, you know, in Judea or in Galilee or, you know, maybe as far as Antioch. I mean, they weren't that far away.
Oh, sure they did. They went. Remember, they were all over the Roman Empire.
Right, but I mean, the apostles that were there in Jerusalem pretty much were based, you know, in that area. Didn't have to go very far, and they were talking to people who knew a lot of the stuff that we're talking about. Paul had much more to explain to people who had no idea what was going on.
I was thinking of it in terms of he was a Pharisee of the Pharisees and grew up completely in that realm of lifestyle. But then when he became a believer, he waited 19 years before he started ministering or talking or writing.
Yeah, he went out in the wilderness for 3 years. And then his home church was Antioch, and he spent years at Antioch and then in the wilderness. And I mean, he was
letting that life form in him. It wasn't, he didn't want to spoil it or something by getting out ahead of it.
There's no question he is. You know, he was the most learned of any of the apostles.
He traveled so far and wide, so I guess a lot of his epistles or books were to different tribes.
Well, so, I mean, all of the apostles traveled all over the place. Remember the... let me look for it again. I want to do that thing about how the apostles died and where they died, so you can see only one of them died in Jerusalem, I think. Oh, why can't I ever find that?
Of all the apostles, did he have the most, because I've read New Testament.
The hell most what?
Did he have the most dramatic, profound, what's it called?
Conversion.
Very profound.
Jesus. Yeah, it was a deep.
Jesus came and had a come to Jesus talk with him.
Well, I can't find it. But what? Remember, first Mark went with him constantly and took notes and with Paul. And then he got mad at Mark and kicked him out. And then there were several different apostles that were with him. So he was, you know, he's, that were like Mark was his assistant. And then Mark, he got mad at him and kicked him out. And then so some other of the apostles became his assistant too. But the one that had the most influence on the church for the longest time was John. He lived the longest time, and he was in the mind of the people back then. He was the creme de la creme of the. So, I mean, it was John's influence that even influenced Paul. But he lived longer than any of the other apostles. Even after he was boiled in oil, he still lived on Patmos. No, let's just talk. I couldn't find it a minute ago, but the scripture, let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal to God, but made himself of no reputation. He's the one he emptied so that there's this clear channel between he and Holy Spirit. And that clear channel came when he no longer paid attention to his mind. That's what took him the longest time, is not to pay any attention to his mind and not to try to understand. Because you've got to come to this, finally, to this conclusion that your mind cannot comprehend the gospel. It's like, your mind can't comprehend timelessness. But yet, that's what we are entered into, is timelessness. But it takes, it's this thing about, I write unto you little children because your sin is forgiven. I write unto you adolescents because you've known the Father. I write unto you young men because you are strong. I write unto you fathers. Finally, your father, because you can reproduce. But you can't go, you can't reproduce yourself. It'd be like a 3-year-old having a child. And it has nothing to do with the amount of time. It's how close and how total you were apprehended by it. So there's no more. I mean, it's, you see, you come to this incredible understanding that, you know, everything in the Old Testament. I wish they'd quit using the Old and New Testament anyway. But anyway, in the earlier writings, was all a revelation of Christ. Everything that Paul wrote and John was a revelation of Christ. But in many ways, what Isaiah wrote was more the revelation of Christ than some of the apostles. You know, it's the whole idea of seeing this mystery of Christ and his revelation from the garden to the end. And then you get rid of time, the concept of time, in your own mind. And what I've talked about so often, it's the fear of God, but it's transformed into something else, in that it's the love is so complete that you'd rather do anything else. You'd rather cut off your arm than speak something that wasn't part of the revelation. Does that communicate?
You're looking for Philippians 2, starting in verse 4, in case you want to go there.
Yeah, you can go there. Philippians 2, 4. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal to God, but made himself of no reputation, the total emptiness. That's what that no reputation means. Everybody understand that? It's your mind has nothing to do with your understanding of the scripture. Your mind will always put, your mind can't conceive of timelessness. If you can conceive with timelessness, then well, we don't. That's the mystery.
It's always a stumper, but that's always a stumper with me, the carnal versus the carnal mind, yet there's not a spiritual mind. It's not like you can.
Well, that's why it says let. The two most important words in the Bible are reckon and let. I bet I made 1,000 sermons about that over the years. You reckon yourself crucified, you let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. You let. The only way you can let is to ignore it. So then that way you let this mind, the mind of Christ. It's no longer your understanding. No, I promise you, you cannot understand. You'll always look for a way of self-seeking. You'll always look for a way of justifying it can't be done. So you'll be all these so-called denominations that I'm not even sure many of them were even being worthy to call it a denomination. They've gone so far off the track that I don't think they even know there's a railroad. Amen. It's Philippians 2, is that where we were? Oh, no wonder I was looking. Except somebody's going to have to read because there's about half this. So whoever's got it, read, start in verse chapter 1, verse 27, and we'll read down until.
I'll do it.
Okay. Remember, you have to talk up.
127?
Yeah, but you have to talk louder if you're going to do it.
Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ.
No, stop a minute. The word conversation doesn't mean your talk. It means your manner of life. Okay.
Okay, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind striving together for the faith of the gospel, and in nothing terrified by your adversaries, which is to them an evident token of perdition, but to you of salvation and that of God. For unto you is given in the behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake, having the same conflict which he saw in me, now here to be in me.
Okay. Now, and in nothing terrified by your adversaries, which is to them a what?
Evident token of perdition.
Yeah, but to you, of Christ, of God. I'm missing that. To you, read off verse 28. Somebody read it again.
And in nothing terrified by your adversaries, which is to them an evident token of perdition, but to you salvation, and that of God.
Okay. If your adversaries, because you don't pay any attention to them and ignore what they say, they count that as an evident token of perdition. Do you understand what that means?
Never seen that before. That's really interesting because, you know, what it basically means is they want you to be afraid of them. You know, the adversary wants you to, you know, to toe the line and be afraid of them. And when you're not, it's an indicator to them that you're not in the faith, that you're of the devil. Of course, what they accused Jesus of being.
Okay, go ahead, start and then read.
Isn't it also they see you suffering and consider that perdition on your behalf, where to you, your suffering is salvation because you are with God and you will suffer. And they look at it and say, oh, look at him.
He must have secret sin.
Yeah, he's going through hell.
Yeah, it's I've heard it to me about if you really were a preacher, you wouldn't be sick, you wouldn't hurt all the time.
Right. Yeah, people would look at you and say, oh, he's in perdition or whatever.
Yeah, there's a whole bunch of people that's like that.
Right. But to you, it's salvation.
Yeah, it's part of the trek. All right, I'm going to read the rest here.
You don't like the way I read?
No, it's just that you talk too soft. You don't hear it. I mean, I don't think this will pick it up. But anyway,
if there be therefore
any consolation in Christ, what does that mean?
Comfort.
If there be any comfort in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any following of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill you my joy that you be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and of one mind. Now, there's no private interpretation of Scripture. So therefore, there is only one revelation of Christ in the Scripture. It's not something you make go around and make decisions. Well, it's there. It's and the whole reason for meeting is so that there would be one mind. We're not double-minded. There's only one thing going on. There's only one mind, one revelation, your death. And the reason that there isn't one mind is that you're still using, not you, I mean, whenever it isn't that way, then because people are using their mind to try to understand Scripture. And so there is as many interpretations as there are minds. There is no private interpretation of Scripture. Now that's an arrogant statement. Do you understand that there can't be?
Oh, I think it's more important, more arrogant to say that there is some kind of private interpretation.
Well, that's just an ego. That's because in your when you go down and read the Scripture by Scripture and then oh, I don't agree with that or
yeah. Like you used to say, you always highlight the stuff that you really want to hear and you ignore the rest.
Let this mind look on not every man in his own things, but every man also in the things of others. In other words, not you're more concerned with that other person's benefit than you are yourself. And that's what constitutes the glue in a body. let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. No, just stop. Just hear that. Let this mind. It's not a matter of doing anything except letting. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery or something to be grasped, to be equal with God, but voluntarily he made himself of no reputation. You remember what that means? No reputation? Somebody?
Yeah, he was an empty vessel.
Right.
Almost like it's not what he did, it's what he just didn't do. He didn't go out and make himself of no reputation. He just didn't do anything to garner reputation. That was how he was. Like an action, an active.
No, I don't think so. He made himself of no reputation because he didn't leave from the Garden of Gethsemane and take a trip to Antioch, which is what I would have done. I mean, that was where he made himself of no reputation. He was a servant. He didn't deserve what happened to him, but he willingly took it on.
Remember, my math is right, and I think it is, from the time of his conversion at
the road to Damascus.
Excuse me. On the road to Damascus, he spent 3 years alone in the desert. And then he went, and I think it was 8 years or something like that in Antioch before he was sent out. So he was a member of a body, the main body of the church. Now it was Antioch. It was the. But just think of that.
Talking about Paul?
Huh?
Paul?
Right. So it was essentially about 14 years before he started preaching. Now, that's not because he didn't understand it. It's because he wanted to ensure that there was nothing from his mouth that would be in any way opposite of the mystery of God or take from it. So this idea here of letting... The only way you let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, is you have to ignore your normal mind. Your mind is evil above all things. And that's, if you don't understand that, then you'll keep trying to use your mind. Just think about that. Why is your mind evil above all things? Because your mind, by the fall, is only concerned with self-seeking. And as long as you're concerned with self-seeking, you will never, ever, ever have the mind of Christ. Because they can't coexist. You can't have one, well, many people do that, but well, I have it sometimes. Then to have it sometimes is worse than not having it at all. Harry used to say, you've heard me say this many times, Harry used to say, I hear the preaching, but by the time I get halfway down the block, I've forgotten it already, or I return to considering. No, he never understood the abandonment of self till 3 months before he died. He saw it while he was in the hospital with cancer when he was up still at Baylor before he transferred him to that rest home thing. But he just bawled like a baby when he was telling me this. He said, "I finally understand. I finally see what you've been saying all these years." Because it captured him. He wasn't trying to understand, but he saw that you can't have your mind and then sometimes Christ's mind. It doesn't work that way. Because you will always pollute both of them. A little bit.
But you're saying it's one or the other.
Huh?
You're saying it's one or the other.
Can't be both.
At any one time.
No, can be both, period. That's what the mind of Christ is. There is no other. Because there's total emptiness. You've seen the futility and emptiness of cause and effect, and so everything becomes faith by faith alone.
So then it's possible to have the mind of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
So then it is possible to have the mind of Christ.
It's not only possible, it's absolutely necessary, vital. But the mind of Christ is just empty. So that there's a direct link between you and the Father. Let's go to... Hold the thought 1 minute. Go to John chapter something. Okay, go ahead now. I found it so I can.
I don't know if it's a Bible verse or if it's the same, but I might decrease so that he increases, or is there.
Yeah.
Is that a verse?
Mm hmm.
Well, that does not. Again, I'm not trying to analyze, but that doesn't sound like total emptiness. To decrease, increase, it sounds like it's.
No, it's slowly but surely. He saw the futility of everything in his mind and emptied it. Never used it again. I say he never used it. He never used it to when he was talking about Scripture. Does not compute.
I'm just taking that phrase just literally, and it sounds that you can't have that eureka moment, but it sounds like a lot of it is it's a process. It's that journey of Gary said, or you said, the daily trial of faith.
Yeah, but it's a trial of faith that it's in four different environments. It's the trial of faith while you're still in the world. And that's a different kind of trial of faith than when you go into the wilderness. In the wilderness, you know, it's all kinds of stuff, but it's a lot of it is unbelief. And finally, the third place is you enter the promised land. And that's slowly but surely the mystery is unfolding and it's nothing else. And finally, you're on the mercy seat. And that's the fourth state. And on the mercy seat, hopefully you don't get up and down, you stay. And so you're viewing everything from the top down instead of the bottom up.
You can be a very devout believer and do things and be of sin and not of faith.
The moment you return to your mind, that you then become of sin. You can't, there's no use. You can't use this hunk of protoplasm or whatever it is. It cannot do anything except sin. It is sin.
I was looking at Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. He at first didn't want to do what God wanted him to do. His own will was to find another way. So he must have been using his mind. And after some agony of thought, concern, struggle, whatever, he says.
Go to John chapter 5. Verse 19. Then answered Jesus and said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of or from himself, but what he seeth the Father do, and what things soever he doeth, those also doeth the Son likewise. For the Father loveth the Son, and showeth him all things that himself doeth, and he will show him greater works than these, that you may marvel. For as the Father raiseth up the dead and quickeneth them, even so the Son quickeneth whom he will. For the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son, that all men should honor the Son even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son honoreth not the Father which hath sent him. Verily I say unto thee, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death to life. Verily, verily, I say unto you, this hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. For as the Father has sent as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself, and hath given him all authority to execute judgment, because he is the Son of Man. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming, in the which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice, and shall come forth they have that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. And this is the thing: I can do nothing of mine own self. I can of mine own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father which hath sent me. If I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. No. He can do nothing of himself. That's a pretty heavy statement. As you well know, and if you've been here very long, all that crap that I've thought up to do, that I thought I was doing God a favor or something, you know, it was just a stupid, it was just childish. And I wasn't alone. I mean, I had a whole pack of agreements. But it was all, I'm sure somehow it was necessary in the mystery, but it serves in terms of me thinking about it, I sure wasted a lot of time. But I know that's not true, because, well, anyway, but I'm just telling you from the standpoint, you got to come to the place where I can do nothing of myself. Because as long as yourself is in the picture, that blocks, you may have spiritual constipation. And your gateway to the Father is blocked by dung.
for Cheryl when we need her?
Huh?
Where is Cheryl when we need her?
I don't know what that means.
Cheryl had a habit of bringing Doug into every conversation somehow. Huh.
It's so, I mean, and I don't know how to speed the process up, but it's so you know, I think the thing that I don't share enough is the letters I get from people that we've never met but listen on the internet. There's a box in storage that has over 30,000 names on it that people that had contacted me when I was on radio and television. If I'd have had any sense whatsoever, that would have been our mailing list. And we would, you know, because now we have like 400. But I think there was 36,000 letters that I had over the year, those few years. But somehow, I mean, it was tempting. It seemed like something that was, I just thought it was evil to have somebody type all those addresses out. Now they're all dead, probably, so it doesn't make any difference. But
so if you'd done that, would you felt like you were of reputation? No, I'm serious. Because of that it was...
No, I just...
Bringing attention to you.
Yeah, I don't know.
Is that your reason why it could seem like a very logical way to...
I don't even remember why I didn't, but it just didn't seem right. It was almost like, I don't know, selling out, or I don't know. I don't know what the word is, but the let's well, we're out of time.
Yeah.
This was the un-Bible stuff. Take it, big guy.